Terry. It's uncanny.
Yeah, the only exception, I mean, literally the only thing is that her hair is curly.
Yeah. Oh.
But she looks, that is cute. That's
so cute. That is amazing. I've never seen a sheep How poodle sweet. Before. That is a cool looking dog. Of course, we appreciate all of you. The best thing, our good story of the day every day is the best listeners in radio. I mean that with every bit of my heart. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stick around for Morning Magazine. Terry, you have a good weekend.
You too.
We'll talk again next week on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. How does a young Air National Guardsman at an out-of-the-way base get access to highly classified information? The Pentagon, the Justice Department, and now Congress are all asking. With 21-year-old Jack Teixeira about to make his first court appearance for accessing and posting documents on social media. Here's correspondent Catherine Herridge.
Former Secretary of Defense Mark Esper told CBS News that the security questions are urgent.
You can't think of a good reason for a 21-year-old to have access to this information.
No, I cannot think of a compelling reason, and I assume Secretary Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Milley are probably asking those same questions.
Just into CBS News, drug maker Danco Laboratories has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to reject lower court rulings restricting the availability of its abortion pill, including a federal appeals court's decision that says patients can't order it by mail. That ruling would go into effect tomorrow if the Supreme Court doesn't issue its own today. Capitol Police say they've arrested a man with an assault rifle before he got to the building. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
An assault rifle was confiscated this morning at an off-site delivery facility that screens vehicles before they get on the grounds of the Capitol. Capitol Police spotted the gun with an extended magazine partially wrapped in a blanket in the back seat of a Ford pickup truck. The driver, 57-year-old Michael Donahue from Maryland, was arrested. There isn't any evidence yet that shows Donahue was targeting Congress or the Capitol complex.
Some possible ethics challenges for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Days after it was reported that he had received expensive gifts and vacations from Republican donor Harlan Crow, he faces questions about selling real estate to Crow. CBS's Jan Crawford.
CBS News can confirm ProPublica's reporting that Crow's company purchased properties belonging to Thomas and members of his family in his hometown of Savannah, Georgia. The undisclosed 2014 deal included the purchase of a home and two vacant lots for more than $130,000.
The property in question is Thomas's mother's house. In Llano County, Texas, libraries will stay open as a court battle continues over whether or not local officials can remove books they say are inappropriate. Lisa Bellamy was among local residents weighing in at a county commission meeting.
I don't think that a child should be exposed to homosexual or heterosexual content that is explicit.
And while commissioners say they're concerned about sexual content, the list of banned books includes one that refers to the KKK as a terrorist group in its title. Wall Street, after the opening bell, the Dow is down 15. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to start getting conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 57. Overcast. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 79. 1 to 3 inches of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 67.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 14th, 2023, 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Looking forward to talking with Nathan and Meredith. That will be a great conversation. Got a good conversation ready to be had right now. We have in studio with us Alliant Energy. We have Rick Zimmerman, Manager of Resource Development. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, James. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. And we also want to welcome on the phone here Dr. Mark Anderson, UW-Madison professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering. Good morning, Dr. Mark.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I really appreciate both of you joining us. I don't believe either of you have had, we're your new guests, so welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. First, get the important stuff done right away here. Rick, how you doing?
I am doing fine. Thanks Good. For asking, Good. James. Good.
Dr. Mark, how are you?
Doing great. Nice day out. Nice to have some summer weather here.
It is really nice to have this weather here, isn't it? Yeah. Hang on to this, bottle this, and use this as much as we can. Which is kind of funny I say that, because the things we're talking about today, when we're talking about energy, we're talking about Alliant Energy in specific. I think that there are a number of different directions we can go here. I want to talk about the Wood County Battery Project. I'd like to start with the solar project. I was talking with Rick during our break here, and we were talking about the solar project itself, and you know, we've interviewed a number of people about it on the air here with Morning Magazine. We've talked about it quite a bit, and yet when I talk to people, sometimes it doesn't seem like I don't want to say they're not misinformed, or they don't, it's the lack of information, period, of what this is, why this is, what Alliant Energy is doing, and how their place in this. Let's start there, if you guys don't mind.
No, that'd be great. So the Wood County Solar Project, as we call it, is 150 megawatt in size. It's going to be our second largest that we have in Wisconsin. It can power up to 40,000 homes annually. We got to this point because, as a company at Alliant Energy, in our service territory, which is Wisconsin and Iowa, we have our clean energy vision. Mm-hmm. And so that is a transition, and it's a plan. What do we want to do for goals coming up? So a few of the early goals are, by 2030, achieving 50% reduction in our emissions over our current generation fleet, which includes coal, includes gas. We also have hydro and wind. By 2040, we'd like to eliminate all of our coal from our generation fleet. So we need to replace that with other generational needs.
Right.
And that comes into solar, wind, and battery are what we're focusing on. And then by 2050, we have an aspirational goal to be net zero in our CO2 emissions overall as a company. And so all of this was working up to that plan. We have a clean energy blueprint, which you can find on our internet site. We publish that out, and that is our plan. How do we reach those goals? And three pillars of that is, we want to be increasing affordability to our customer base, reliability, and then sustainability. So, for instance, back in 2005, a part of our generation fleet, we only had 5% renewables made up of that. So a lot more coal, gas, and just a little bit of renewables, mainly wind. Now here in 2021, we advanced our program. Just like projects here in Saratoga, we are now up to 34% renewables.
Wow.
And by 2030, which, you know, not too far off.
No,
right?
No.
It's coming here fast.
Especially time is a flat circle. Yeah. Time doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And we want to be over 50%. So our goal is about 54% renewables.
Nice.
And projects like this is exactly how we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So as you may or may not know, the 150 megawatt project here in town of Saratoga, or just on the outskirts, came complete end of last year, so we are generating.
Yeah,
it was a great project for us. The construction went well. We're online, and you know, for those that are not in Wisconsin Rapids today, and Mark, it sounds like in Madison where you're at, it's a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah,
few clouds in the sky, but right, this is optimal.
Right, right.
For us, and even a little bit of cooler weather.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
not
it,
bad.
It increases efficiency. So
interesting. I didn't know that part. Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
So. Right, southern states, California, Arizona, right, a lot more sun hours than we have. But our little bit of cooler temperatures just makes things run just a little bit more efficiency. Now, it's fractions of a percent.
Sure.
But, right, we'll take everything we can
every
get.
Every penny counts. Every bit counts, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Especially here in the Midwest.
Exactly right, yep.
Huh.
So our Saratoga project here is just one of 12 projects that make up going to make up 1 gigawatt or just slightly over 1 gigawatt of solar for us.
Wow.
And we have about 6-7 projects currently under construction, and they're all looking to be done by the end of this year or early part of 2024, and we'll have 1 gigawatt of solar online and producing power for our customer base by, again, the end of this year.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. It's really wonderful to see for this area, and the benefits that will come from this. What I also enjoy about a subject like this and a project like this is all great, and the information that you just gave us there, Rick, is awesome. We still like the things years from now that develop from this organically or happen from this organically that we don't see coming, or maybe another neighboring town or neighboring state sees us doing this and they get the inspiration to do it themselves or something like that. That's another cool part of this project to me.
Yeah, right. We're open here at Align Energy to, you know, what did we learn? How's our production? What type of material did we use? Did we like it? Are we having problems? So we're more than willing to help out our neighboring utilities. Again, we're sharing what we learn. So the betterment of, you know, our communities, states nearby. We're in several panels that go across the country, and like we shared, you know, things that went well and also things went that didn't go so well.
Yeah.
But again, this project here in town of Saratoga went very well for us. The community was great to work in. I think the construction is basically over, so the reduction of just traffic in the area takes very little to maintain and run a solar plant.
I think that's an interesting note to mention too. just because it's so many projects, we don't hear that with a lot of energy products.
Right. Yeah. It's just going to be, we always work in teams of two, right? Mm-hmm. So someone's not alone if they happen to, you know, get hurt, right?
Right.
There's
right.
someone there that's close by that can help them out. We should be rolling just small teams in, and that will just reduce the time period that, you know, instead of 4 weeks being on site, we can be there for 2 weeks and we can get our operation and maintenance. A lot of that's monitored remotely, so we see where the panels are facing, and if you know, a row or two, the tracker isn't facing the right direction, we'll get notice that, and we'll know then to dispatch a crew on site.
Really, again, looking forward to this project, the future of this project, and so thankful that it's already up and running. Some efficient, good work that went into this with you guys, with our community planners, everybody that was involved in this great work. We also have Dr. Mark Anderson with us here today, and Dr. Mark, why are you here? Why? No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. I wanted you to be able to jump into the conversation here, sir. And what is it that you would like to add, if there's anything right now that you'd like to add?
Yeah, there's a couple things. So I was called by the town of Saratoga to actually consult and just interact with Alliant Energy and become just explain a little bit of the technology and so forth with respect to the solar energy generation, and then also energy storage needs and addition of energy storage associated with the solar plant. We can get into that in a minute. But you had mentioned that, there's many other communities looking at this. There's big federal programs and the Inflation Reduction Act and so forth is pushing for these climate clean energy systems. So there's a lot of work going on nationally on putting in new solar, and the cost of the solar has decreased significantly. So now it's economical and a viable energy technology going forward. So.
Dr. Andrews, I want to get into these the Wood County Battery Project. I want to talk about other things, but forgive me, sir. I don't have a professor on the air all the time, and I have some questions popping up in my mind right now with this. And not at all to put you on the spot, but when given the industry you're in and teaching, do you see like future things coming up, like even more ways of us of harnessing the sun, of harnessing energy, of finding new ways to do this other than solar power is great. I'm not looking to get rid of solar power or anything. We just got it feels like. But other things that we can do to even impact more, even get more energy from the sun or a different resource, the wind or what have you.
Oh, definitely. I think, we're exploring all kinds of different areas. So there's advances in solar technology as we move forward. There's also concentrated solar, where you can take the heat from the solar and rather than create electrons, you can heat up stuff. And so there's a lot of work going on looking at chemical processes, using electricity for that instead of burning fossil fuels. There's technologies around nuclear energy and improving that and increasing the safety with respect to that. There's a lot of work going on in energy storage. So as we add some of these different renewables like solar and wind and so forth, there becomes this need for this energy storage, and there's a lot of work going into different ways you can do that. And it's not just batteries. So we're going to talk a little bit about batteries later, but you can use pumped hydro, you can use compressed air gas storage. There's a whole host of different energy storage mechanisms that we can also look at. So at the University of Wisconsin, we do a lot of research trying to improve the efficiency, look at these different technologies, see how we can work with companies like Alliant and integrate these new technologies in. So this is a very fast-moving area now, and it's growing really quick. There's lots of innovation and so forth going forward.
We always like to mention on Wisconsin, as we are the home of the Wisconsin Badgers, all their sporting events happen here, so we definitely mention that. We always appreciate having a UW person on with us. And more importantly, I see why Dr. Mark has joined us here at everything. You know your stuff, sir. You definitely are able to answer my questions. I'm curious about something else, too. And when it comes to innovation, it comes to engineering and creation. We started kind of looking for energy from the earth, coal, gasoline, these kind of things. It feels more and more our society is going more and more and looking up and looking outward, looking at the sun, looking at wind, looking at powering and harnessing those kind of energies. I think there's something kind of like the symmetry of that is beautiful. When you look at the human experience, when you look at humans, how long we've been on this planet and everything. We had some people on yesterday. We were talking about Earth Day related activities, as next week is Earth Day week and stuff. I said the statement of, the planet's just going to keep doing its thing, whether we're on it or not. And the caller that we had on, mentioned a really good point. The planet's going to keep doing its thing. Like, whether we're here or not, the planet finds a way. You look at a pair of train tracks that haven't had a train on it in years. What happens? The grass grows around it. It works around it. We see nature grow around us all the time. You got polar bears from coming into towns now from the Atlantic. So, I don't know what more people need to look at this and say, hey, we gotta look at this thing differently. All that being said, another thing that came up yesterday that I found very encouraging on this subject, and I tend to be a cynical person, I'll be honest with you guys, I tend to lean a little more that way, but I don't believe in any of our lifetimes that our society has ever been more open to being green, to going green, to looking at different resources for energy. I'll never forget this. Like, years back, I see that Hummers got an electric vehicle. Like, if Hummer's doing it, come on. Who isn't going to be now? Whether they're doing it for the right reasons or not, I almost don't care right now. I just want everybody on the same page. I want to get us all caring about this and worrying about this and being hopeful while also realizing that there is work to be done. And with that, I'd like to get into the Wood County Battery Project with you guys. Can we first, Mark, would you mind first telling us, I'm sorry, Rick, mind telling us all what this is about?
Yeah, so to be paired with the Wood County Solar Project, we have prepared all of our solar sites and even some of our wind sites to put place battery there also. We always knew that battery or some kind of storage, and Mark mentioned a couple other new technologies that are emerging, but to harness that power for when we need it. So the wind blows at night, the sun comes up early in the morning, right, and sets in the evening. But our consumption of electricity doesn't necessarily match when those resources are shining or blowing.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of maybe not being able to capture that, so if our customers can't use that power within a reasonable time of when that's being generated, right, we don't generate it. So it's a loss of an opportunity. Now with batteries or a storage mechanism, batteries probably the leading technology out there right now, we're able to store that power and use it for when our customer base needs it. So, you know, our peak time is early evening. So that's when everybody's like leaving their office. The air conditioners are kicking on in the summer. So the house cools down a little bit, right? When no one was there, it was heating up a little bit.
Right.
People start cooking. Kids return home from school. So that's when our little peak is in the early evening hours. That's when the sun is setting and not necessarily when the wind's blowing. So the battery project that we're proposing, not yet approved by the Public Service Commission. We have submitted our application beginning or end of last year. It's 75 megawatts of storage, so half the capacity of the solar site. We worked with a couple of our, and Mark can probably elaborate on this, but worked with a couple of our consultants. Economically wise, seem to be paired up the most. When you put a little bit more, you don't use some of the battery. So you're paying for a little bit more than what you need. So about 50% is the kind of general rule of how we size it. That's enough to power 80,000 homes for 4 hours.
Wow.
So we call it a 4-hour battery. It can last longer, but not at 100% discharge. So we can capture the sun early morning. And if we don't have a customer base to use it, we can funnel that to our batteries. During the winter time, right, we have significantly less solar. So most of that power we generate goes immediately to our consumer base. But at night, everyone powers down their house, right? We're sleeping, lights are off, heat lowers. We're able to take the lower cost of power, because we are still generating power for our customer base. It just isn't being used. It's available. We're able to pull that off the transmission system late at night, charge our batteries, so it's, again, available for us at our peak time. So simple law of supply and demand. When there's a lot of demand for power, the cost of that product goes up. So if we can't generate it, we have to purchase it from the transmission system. That's expensive at that peak time. So if we can harness those off-peak times, store it, have it ready for when we're ready to discharge, then we're able to kind of save our customer base money. We can keep our bills at the same levels at a longer period of time.
Seems like a smart use of not only the funding and the land, but of the energy. I actually am a little cross with you guys because Tuesday night I was doing my prep work for this interview and everything, and I had not heard much about battery solar and the ability to do this. We take that energy from the sun, we harness it, and we use it. That's one thing. Taking it and tucking it away for a rainy day or whatever, like, I didn't know you could do that. Like, I'm pretty up on this subject, and I had no idea about that. I was down a rabbit hole. I was up for 2 hours reading about this. I didn't get much sleep. I couldn't help it. I was so excited. It's such an interesting and cool thing. Like, the science of it alone, the engineering of it alone is fascinating. But the fact that here we are, we can do this. Dr. Anderson, what notes do you have about this, about batteries, and how this is done?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly necessary as you start to add some of these renewables because, like Rick mentioned, we produce the sun shines at certain times of the day and so forth, so we need to be able to store this. And there's a lot of work. I mean, Rick touched on a bunch of stuff. So there's arbitrage that's moving energy around at different times, firming up capacity, helping the distribution lines and so forth. There's also a lot of technologies out there that have developed fairly recently, making batteries more applicable for this application and lowering the cost and so forth. So a lot of people are familiar with lithium ion batteries that have come out and how they perform so much better than the old lead acid batteries that were used in the past. So as these technologies start to evolve, they become able to be used in these applications. And that technology is just improving every day. So, it's definitely an interesting area.
It really is. Yeah. Thank you.
Just to add to the understanding there, James. So the batteries we're proposing to use, very similar, almost identical to the same batteries that are in electric vehicles.
Huh.
In fact, we compete in that supply market.
Oh, okay.
You know, get product. Mm. And I think the latest percentage, I said that 90% of that market goes to feed the electric vehicle market.
Huh.
And then the rest of the industry, like storage and others, are competing for the rest, right?
Hmm.
And yes, industry is ramping up to build more, but as Mark said, we're proposing a lithium iron phosphate, a lot of times abbreviated as LFP. It's a proven technology, although they made upgrades and revisions to it. So this is some of the latest technology that's been proven. We're going to place that away from residences, away from the road. It's going to be tucked next to the substation in the solar area.
Okay.
So you probably won't even be able to see it. Got to look pretty hard.
Yeah.
They're sea containers, storage containers, if you're more familiar with that. Just metal containers that all the batteries are in. They're temperature controlled. They're all connected together. And we can charge and discharge as needed to best fit our customers' needs.
It feels like, again, as a layman and somebody coming into the topic that only, has scratched the surface in some ways of this topic, but this feels like something that if we don't do it now, we're just kicking the can down the road. We're going to need this battery eventually. And it feels like the sooner the better that we can do something like that. Otherwise, it feels like we're wasting energy.
Exactly. Right. So it's a matter of efficiency.
Mm.
So, if we didn't have battery, we would need more solar, for those times to match up, or more wind or more gas, or keep our coal on longer, because we have to have enough energy to meet our customer needs at the peak time.
Yeah.
So batteries is another tool in our toolbox to be able to help have the available energy when our customers needs it. And we don't need to expand the solar site. We're able to place a battery here and, like I mentioned before, either capture that excess solar when it wasn't going to be used or charge from the transmission grid in the evening hours when the consumption is less, and then that battery's sitting there waiting to be used, like you said, for a rainy day.
As we're wrapping up here, got a minute or two left. Is there anything we haven't had a chance to touch on that either of you would like to mention or talk about? Dr. Anderson?
Yeah, just the comment. So utility scale storage is actually quite nice because you can control how you charge and discharge these batteries quite well, and then you can get a very long lifetime. So with a laptop or something, as the battery starts to degrade over a couple of years, in these utility storage systems, you can control that charge rate a little easier. You can control the discharge rate. So the safety and the longevity of the batteries is much longer at these utility scale systems than you would see in your laptop or car or something.
Interesting. Thank you for that, sir. Did you have anything that you wanted to add, Rick?
Just like to say, for those that want additional information, whether it's about our solar program or our upcoming battery program, please visit our website at AlliantEnergy.com. Specifically, it's /battery or /solar. We post a lot of information about our projects. And then, of course, thank you, James, for giving us an opportunity to share our plans. It helps to communicate with the community so they understand what we are doing and better informed. So appreciate the time today.
Oh, yeah. We're looking forward to we'll talk again real soon, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll have you guys back soon. And Dr. Anderson, I apologize. You did too good of a job, sir. You're going to have to come back, too. I'm so sorry, but you are going to have to join us again sometime because you were too much fun to talk to. I'd love to talk with you again. Thanks so much for the time. You have yourself a great day there in Madison, sir.
All right. Happy to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And again, thank you also, Rick. We appreciate the time. Say hi to your whole team for us.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Morning Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 57. Overcast. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 79. 1 to 3 inches of snow Sunday night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 67.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this 14th of April, 2023. It is 10:32 on the clock, and you have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by our friends from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. We have with us Meredith Kleckler, Executive Director over there. Good morning, Meredith.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thanks. It's good to see you, too.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. It's a gorgeous day outside. And
you picked a good day to come in.
We picked
a nice day to come in. And you brought a new friend with. We have Nathan Plim. Is it Plim?
Yes.
It is Plim. Yeah. Mark that down, Pam. I got a last name right. Nathan Plim is with us. He is a new marketing sales manager at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. How are you doing, Nathan?
Doing very well. Yeah. Good. Like you said, it's a great day, and I'm really happy to be here.
With it being your first day here and everything, we have to do this to you. I want to get a little of your origin story. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
Sure, yeah. So I'm originally from Peshtigo, Wisconsin, 40 minutes north of Green Bay, for those unfamiliar. Okay. Yep. And I recently graduated from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point last May. Nice. After that, I interned with the Stevens Point Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that's how I was connected with Meredith at the end of the summer and got my first full-time position. So I'm really excited. It's been a really great couple of months. And yeah, it's that's a little bit about me.
First, go Pointers. My daughter's a Pointer, right on. I always, we get to have this happen every once in a while where we talk to somebody in state who is getting a job right out of school in state. What does it mean for you to be able to do this job and not have to travel, you know, move to another state or anything like that, being able to do this in your home roots?
Yeah, honestly, my after college transition was really seamless. It worked out really well for me to intern at the Stevens Point Visitors Bureau because it was a perfect connection. And so I'm unlike some of my peers in the sense that it was very smooth process, got a job right away. And some of my colleagues and, like I said, peers are still searching, you know, they're looking for out of state things, but mine was a really good experience.
I appreciate that breakdown, too, especially for anybody out there listening that is looking at a similar path or anything like that. I think there's some notes in there for them.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Meredith, I thought one of the things that would be really good to do today is kind of getting into a bit of the background, why tourism matters to our area, who the Visit Bureau is. One of the things that you guys do that I think is really cool here in Morning Magazine is oftentimes you could use this half an hour to have this segment and do these promotions, but instead you give that half an hour to a boxing team or this team, something in town, helping highlight other events, other things. We don't have a ton of people that do that kind of stuff, and I admire that so much. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I mean, we don't work in a vacuum, right? We're all in this together. So we really benefit from all the local organizations and stakeholder groups, and they're really what make Wisconsin Rapids area a place people want to visit.
Yeah.
So we value them, and we appreciate that you welcome them onto WFHR.
We understand, and I talk with Mayor Blazer once a month, and whether it is talking with him or talking with Stevens Point Mayor, any of the local areas here, one of the bigger things is keeping your population numbers the same and not dipping. A lot of people, of course, everybody would like to add to that, but nowadays it's so much, we got to hang on to what we have. Rapids, unlike some of the surrounding areas, has seen some influx of recent activity and everything. I don't think it's a coincidence that there's also, you throw a rock and there's something to do around here. Mm-hmm. Like there's plenty of action. There's plenty of things going on. I can mention the Y. I can mention the River Kings, the Rafters. We've got water parks. There's all these different things going on. The purpose of all these things and stuff, it's not just so that we have shiny things to look at or that we have things to play on and all that stuff and everything. That's all well and good. But the actual, like we say that these things help our economy. And we just kind of end there. What's the depth of that?
Right now, in the state of Wisconsin, tourism is the fourth largest industry in the state. It was third before the pandemic, and healthcare, understandably, rose above. But it makes a huge difference. The amount of income that it that comes into the state literally affects every other type of industry. And it all starts with a visit, right? Whether you want to build a home or go on vacation or you're just driving through and need gas or you're looking to open a business, it all starts with a visit. And we have the privilege of promoting all the great things in this area to try to get people to come here.
I've always thought you guys have a really good gig. Like, it's a nice job. I got one myself, so I know what it's like. But it is a fun thing to be able to do, too. I think most people want to take pride in their hometown or pride in where they're living or something. It's another to be able to kind of do that. And part of your job is not only doing that, but encouraging others to do it and giving them reasons to. One of the things that I think is really nicely done in this town, and a lot of areas do this, I don't want to make it sound like just Rapids, but I've never been a fan of forced pride or forced things. I love that it is there for you, and it's right there for you to pick up and take on that pride and take on that joy of this in your area or that in your area. I think that's very well done. What is, not to say there's a mission statement, but what is your guys' goal at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau?
Ooh, that's a great question that we like. and Nathan can jump in at any time here. But our mission is to promote and develop the Wisconsin Rapids area as a business and leisure destination that results in economic prosperity and a recognition of our quality of place. This is an awesome place to be. We want everybody to know about it.
Yeah.
So whether people want to come and do recreation, we have amazing outdoor recreation, both on the water. Mm-hmm. We have some events that are not like anywhere else. The Wisconsin State Water Ski Show mm-hmm. is not like anything else. And it was the largest show in the world when mm-hmm. we had worlds. So and that's unique, and that yeah. makes us special. Mm. From great sports teams, the Rapids Area Sports Complex is bringing in lots of new energy and new
I didn't
people.
Even mention the sports mm-hmm. complex.
and we have great trails along the river. And then great things to do. You can stop and, you know, try a new brew, you can get lunch. There's just great things to do, and we have an amazing arts and music kind of scene that's bubbling up. Mm-hmm. Even the Southwood County Historic Museum is now open year-round,
yeah.
and they're bringing in traveling exhibits that are really interesting.
I'm so glad you mentioned the museum. I like to mention them any chance we get. That is just a wonderful gem just sitting there in town here, and it's been there for so long doing such good work. If you get a chance, summer's the perfect time to go there. It's not a bad time, but summer's such a great time to go there. Mm-hmm. Grab the kids and check it out and learn some history. You never know what kind of pride they get from those sorts of things. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's a good one.
I'm so sorry, but it's free.
Yeah,
a lot of our museums, a lot of our things are free. There's no charge. So we are a really affordable place for families and for people to come and explore.
Meredith is the best. She's been doing this a while. Nathan, you're new to this. You're coming into things. What for you is the statement, the goals for the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau?
Yeah, not to reiterate what Meredith said, but basically... Okay. What we do is we try to promote the area as a place for everybody. Like Meredith said, we have a very rich arts, culture, and history scene. There's sports, there's outdoor recreation, there's great local flavor. All these different elements and the affordability as well really play into making this a great place to be. And so we do our best to promote that. And, you know, one thing that I like to point out about Wisconsin Rapids area is that we have all these great amenities. And while we may not be a destination like Milwaukee or Madison with all these, like you mentioned earlier, big shiny things to look at, we do have something for everybody. And that's my goal, is to make people aware of that.
Yeah. I'm very, very proud of where I'm originally from and all that. I think there's everybody should be. But moving here and living here, the second act of my life, kind of, it's the perfect place for me now, this version of me, this me and all those things. And when my family first moved here, Rapids seemed like such a great city. It had all these, as Meredith was touching on, the trails, the parks, you got the lakes around here and everything. Heard really good things about the school system, all of that. But when we first moved here, there were no rafters, there were no River Kings, there were no water parks or anything like that, and we still felt that way. Now, when I was talking to my mom and dad about this, and they've been in their house for like 20 years now or something like that, and we're talking about when we first got here to now, how much this town has grown, all the things that have come up. Mention the sports complex. I mean, there's so many things going. There's so much stuff that I'm forgetting things, and it's my job to know these things. But it's just so much. It's not to say that we can't do more, or we can't, you know, tinker with things and improve them or anything like that. But one of the things that I enjoy about what I get to do, whether it's radio or acting, there's this thing I tell my students all the time of chasing the perfect show. There is no such thing as a perfect show. You do live theater, there's something's going to go wrong or something's going to mess up. But the chase of it is part of what keeps you motivated, keeps you doing good work. With what you guys do, things are the way they are and stuff, and you could almost be like, well, okay, I think things are good. But with a job like yours, you're always looking to improve. You're always looking for ways to add to our community. It seems like a fun part of the job. Is it or is it frustrating? Because seems like it'd be a fun part of it to me.
Our job is different every single day.
Yeah.
And that makes it awesome. It's sometimes challenging, but it also makes it awesome and a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I would agree. Meredith and I are both very good multitaskers, and that's one of my favorite things about it. Like Meredith said, is nothing is ever the same. Yeah. It's always making a new connection. It's always working on a new project, finding new ways to promote the area. It's really exciting, and you definitely don't get bored working in tourism. That's for sure.
We're speaking with Meredith and Nathan from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. We are going to take a quick commercial break, come back, have some more conversation on The Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wasn't reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs level off around 82 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows level off around 57. Overcast skies, tomorrow scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 79. 1 to 3 inches of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone. Thanks a lot to Jennifer and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, especially when they give us forecasts like that. That sounds really nice. In this beautiful weather, well, look who we have in to visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, a bunch of people that give you ideas to take advantage of this weather. How perfect is that? Great job scheduling, Pam. Nice job, Pam. I want to talk about a couple of things more with you guys before we let you go, but let's start off with who you are and what you guys are doing. We talked about the mission statement sort of the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Now how are you putting that into action?
So we're the destination marketing organization or the tourism entity in the area. And so what we do is we work to bring groups, conventions and meetings, sports tournaments, leisure travelers, business travelers. We work to bring people to the area that the area benefits from economically. So we're a not-for-profit organization. And we're unique in that we're funded by the people that use our services. We're funded partially by room taxes. So when someone comes and stays in a lodging property, they pay a tax that goes to the municipality, and the city keeps a portion and then gives us a nice portion as well.
Yeah.
And that's how we're funded. So there's no fee. If a group in town has an event and they want to put it on our calendar, they can just go and put it up on our website calendar. We encourage that. Or, a sports team wants to bring somebody in and they need to know how to do a request for proposal, or they need help with something. We're here to be that resource. So we're here for the people in our community, but our goal is focusing on bringing people from the outside in.
Transparency is so important nowadays, and that breakdown may not seem like much, but I guarantee the audience appreciated that. That is a really cool breakdown. I don't know if we've ever gotten to get into that before, Meredith, but that is really interesting to hear. And I think, like, I already thought the work that you guys are doing was impressive and awesome, but hearing how you get the funds to do that too, that makes it even cooler to me, and so much more connected than I even realized as far as with the community and the community's action and the community's wants and needs. That is very unique. That is really cool, the way that that happens. Mm-hmm. I was rambling earlier about different locations and different new fun things that we have here in town, and so much so that I can't believe I didn't mention the sports complex. So, yeah, I'm a sports guy. That should have been the first thing I mentioned. I was talking about all those things, and I was kind of doing that a bit to lead into later in the conversation. There's all that stuff, and then there's these events. We have so many great local events. You touched on one with the water ski show tournament that we look forward to every summer. I know there are other great events coming up. Let's touch on some of those if you guys don't mind. I happen to know one in particular that I think we have to touch on legally. I don't think we can end the interview without talking about the Cherry Blossom Festival.
That's right, yeah.
And if that's where you want to start, that's cool. But yeah. I know that there's a lot of things coming up.
So the Cranberry Blossom Festival every year celebrates all the great blossoming things in our in our community. So it ties nicely with the blossom season for our cranberry marshes, which is a big part of our agricultural heritage here. So, but we have lots of great things that are happening in our community, and that festival changes every year. There's new events. The event coordinators host their own event and benefit from their own event. But the Cranberry Blossom Festival Board coordinates it, makes sure that things aren't competing with each other, that there's a lot of fun things to do. And then our part as the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention Visitors Bureau is to promote and market it. So we work really hard to get people from all over the state to come and enjoy. And it's fun.
It's one of our favorite things to do around here, Nathan. I don't think you've gotten to experience it yet, it seems like. But have you?
Not yet.
I didn't think so. Okay, you're going to love this. This is so much fun. You have the whole town coming out and participating in this in some way or another, some events more, you know, in this event. And it is a wonderful one. It's also a great way, what you touched on there, Meredith, of bringing in other businesses from outside of town into this event. It's such a popular one. It is state popular. Like, it's not, go a couple of towns over and they know what this is. Like, that's pretty interesting. And also speaks to the legacy, the history of the event, of how long it's been going. How long has this been going on?
I want to say 15 years.
I thought so, yeah. I remember when it started, and I remember, like, it's one of those ideas you hear and you're like, oh, why weren't we always doing this? Like, this is awesome. This is a really good idea. It helps us promote the area. It helps us celebrate the area, certainly. And it's also one of those things that I talk to people that when they talk about it, it's kind of one of those signs of summer. It's one of those signs of, like, better day, better weather, that kind of thing, which we always look forward to in Wisconsin. That's never a bad thing. You mentioned that the event grows every year, or you know, things change here and there. Are there any things coming up this year that we can tell the audience about that they might mind interest in?
I would watch for a larger carnival.
Okay.
And a potential music group, tribute music group that's coming
in.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I would watch for that on Saturday night. There'll be lots of the traditional things. You know, the Lioness do a great job with the Berry Fest raffle. That's happening again. I believe that the Chamber is doing the Dairy Berry Breakfast and the parade and the Arts, Crafts, and Cranberries Fair. There's lots of new things. We have Historic Point Bass is going to be out at the Grand Rapids Lions Club as part of the carnival, doing some reenactments, some shows. That's new, and that'll be fun.
Yeah, so, great idea. Mm-hmm. Oh, love our friends. They join us once a month at least, and love talking with those guys. That is a really good idea. I like that. All right. This is what I was getting at before. It would be so easy to kind of just sit back and be like, well, things are running themselves. The Cranberry Blossom Fest has been going on for 15 years. It'll be just, you know, and once you cross your, you know, T's and dot your I's and all that, everything kind of, but no, tinkering and seeing what can we make things better? What more can we give the community? Mm-hmm. I admire that so much. And I don't think we see it, or don't think we get a chance to appreciate it very often. We're usually just in these events and we're so close to them. We're just enjoying ourselves and everything. But man, that is really cool. That is a great one. when it comes to events, you touched on something earlier, Meredith, that I thought was really cool too, is, you know, getting your events on your guys' webpage. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, that is many people, that is how they are getting their information. That is how they are checking to see what is coming up, especially for people that might be new to the area. That's, I imagine, if not the first website, one of the first websites they're going to go to. When it comes to getting your events on that calendar, when it comes to the events that are on that calendar, what should people know about that?
That literally you just go to visitwisrapids.com and you go to the events and the calendar feature pops up and it there's a little button that says submit event and it walks you through the process. Mm-hmm. And one of the really nice things about it is if let's say you have a venue or a location, it will remember all of those details in the future for the next time when you go in. So it gets faster every time you do it.
That is really cool.
And the more, as long, the only criteria is that the event needs to be open to the public, mm-hmm. and in our general area.
Right.
But yeah, we welcome people putting things on the calendar. And if they're not comfortable putting them on the calendar, if they just contact us, we'll do it for them.
Yeah. That's a great note.
Yeah, and the more events that we know about, the more that we can promote. You know, we are very active on social media, and we base a lot of it around our events calendar. Mm. And so when those events are posted, then we're able to help promote the businesses and the organizations.
Mm. When it comes to some of these events coming up, you know, the Cranberry Blossom Fest, some of these, Meredith, I always am curious of how the planning that goes into them and how long that takes. I imagine with something like the Cherry Blossom Festival, you've been planning it since the last one ended, like the day the last one ends, you pick up on that and for the next one.
Yeah, Cranberry Blossom Festival ends in June, and then usually there's a wrap up in the fall, and then planning for the new one starts usually in January. So there's a couple months.
You get a little bit of a breather, but not like you're not doing other things during that time, of course. But with that one, are there other things you guys are working on, or other organizations or things you're looking to bring into town that we might want to touch on with the audience?
Legion Baseball has a tournament coming up this summer, and the Dairyland Amateur Adult Baseball League also has a tournament coming up this summer. Mm-hmm. So those will be awesome. Of course, I mentioned the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Trap Shooting Association, they have both the high school clay shoot, and their shoot is coming up. Mm. Who am I missing?
Bluegrass at the Lake.
Bluegrass at the Lake.
I was
lake,
waiting for this, yeah. Yeah, I
which
love
is
this.
The weekend before Cranberry Blossom Festival. Mm-hmm. And they are growing and becoming really, really popular, and it's very exciting to watch that.
You talk about that's something we've been really lucky. We've seen this from the start to where it is now. They've come on the air with us many times to talk about it, and it's so cool to see that event grow and get as big as it is and hopefully get even bigger and be able to raise more awareness, more funds, and that. It's a great group of people. I have no doubt they'll be joining us as we lead up to that event. That's another good one. A lot to do this summer, a lot of fun things going on. Greatly appreciate this community and the work that you guys do and stuff, but one of the ways you show appreciation is volunteering, is helping out, is being an extra set of hands if needed. When it comes to these events, and if people see this stuff going on and they want to be a part of things, they want to volunteer, is that an option? Is that something they can do, and how would they do that?
Absolutely. We always welcome volunteers in any form, even an hour a month, but pick your favorite organization, work with animals or people or whatever your passion is, but giving a little bit of your time helps you feel good, it helps the community, it helps strengthen and build a community that people want to be in.
Mm-hmm. What are other ways people can help with any of the things we talked about today, or just stuff in the future?
General, just like reaching out. One of the things that we need people to do is to reach out to us and let us know what's going on. Let us know what their needs are. If we can't help you directly with that need for the event, the business promotion, whatever it is, we can certainly connect people to those resources and to those correct people. So, yeah.
When it comes to businesses kicking off new events or doing promotions or these kind of things, when it comes to acts coming to our area, it should be one of the first calls you make, reaching out to you guys, letting you know, because one of the ways that you guys keep this town so well informed, do a great job of promoting, do a great job of getting these things out there. And I got to say, the community does a really good job of spreading the word as well. We've got a real good town when it comes to that. So that part, I think we can all feel good about. We can all take a little bit of a victory lap on that. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot today. There's so much we haven't had a chance to talk about because we never have enough time. But if people do have follow-up questions, if there's people out there that have events that they want to highlight, any of these things, how can they reach you guys? Nathan, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so like I said, our website is visitwisrapids.com. That's visit, W-I-S-rapids.com. Mm-hmm. That's a first place to look. If they're looking to contact us directly, our office phone number is 715-422-4650. And they can reach us that way. On our website, we also do have a contact us page if they need to get in touch with Meredith or I directly about marketing a certain event or whatever it is that we can help with. Our contact information and direct lines are listed there as well.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us, Nathan. It's been good to meet you.
Yeah, it's been great to have you.
Thank and you welcome to town. Here. It's good to have you in town here.
Thank you.
Meredith, for you, is similar, people can reach you the same way?
Same way. Okay. Same exact way. We're here. We're available. We're on several social media outlets. We want to be available, so whatever works, reach out and let us know how we can help you.
You know how much I love talking to you, Meredith. Thank you so much for being here today and everything you guys do for the community. We greatly appreciate it. That website, again, is visitwisrapids.com. That's visitwisrapids.com. And if you're curious about Blossom Fest, you can go to blossomfest.com, all one word, blossomfest.com. These things have Facebook pages as well. Like those pages, subscribe and support the work that is being done there. The only crux of this interview, Meredith, once again, no Cranberry Guy. I've got hard-hitting questions for Cranberry Guy. He's been dodging me, I think. Because I got origin story questions. I want to know what he eats. I got a lot of questions for Cranberry Guy. Maybe next time.
We might have to bring Cranberry Guy these days. So thank you so much. We really appreciate this opportunity.
I do like the idea of Cranberry Guy being in here. And every time I ask a question, it's just silence. Like, nothing. Right? Like, they're just... It might not be the most entertaining interview, but it's something I want to do someday. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you both so much for the time. Appreciate you. I do want to send a big shout out to Pam Hilke and the fantastic scheduling job she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. And a big thank you to all of our guests this week on Morning Magazine. Can't do it without you. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you all to all the listeners for joining us. We got great weekend content coming up for you. Kristen Bry's around the corner, and plenty more here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.